this evening will be from the New King James Version, and it will be from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4.
Good to be with everyone tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence. I chuckle a little bit when Jeremy is announcing the attempt to have a young adult class. I think that's a great idea, personally. I like to see us have some more adult classes. I remember when we were at Thayer Street, as small as we were, I believe we had 3 adult classes going on. But I chuckled because at one time I was teaching the young adult class, and I can't remember what was going on, but I remember somehow we got into discussion about the class, having the young adult class, and it was going pretty good at that time. We had quite a few, and somehow or another, I put myself among their number, and they quickly said, "No, you're not one of us." I can't remember. I'm quite sure that Sarah Kent said the loudest objection to that. But I just don't understand it. That's been like 20 years ago, and say I'm 49 now. I would have been. Anyway, all right, let's get down. All right, so we've been, the last few Sundays, we're talking about choosing the Bible over the doctrines of man. And I think this is very important. Again, I've been suggesting that not only at this congregation, but every congregation over the years have lost individuals who have left the faith and go back to or go to originally some denominational church. And when you do that, you are making a decision. They made a decision to side with the doctrines of men rather than the Bible. Furthermore, we need to make sure that our young people here at Brown Street understand that there is a distinction, that the doctrine of Christ is very distinct, and most denominational churches simply do not teach the doctrine of Christ, at least not in its totality. And so we're looking at simple doctrines that all of us are familiar with, but we need to make sure that we always choose the Bible, no matter how unpopular the doctrine might be, or no matter how popular the doctrines of men might become. We have to choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. So tonight, in keeping with that theme, I want to talk just a little bit about baptism. And I understand that that is, again, a subject that we're very much familiar with, and yet most of the denominational world does not teach the truth on the subject of baptism. That is a very troubling thing, since that's the heart of, or at least one aspect of, God's plan of salvation. And in fact, if you believe that baptism is important, that it is indeed essential for the salvation of the soul, most denominational people will consider you to be a heretic. They say it's not orthodox to teach anything other than we're saved by faith alone. And when they talk about orthodox, basically what their meaning is that we're not on board with the teaching of the reformers, people like John Calvin, of course, Martin Luther, and men of that sort. And they won't admit that. They would say that what is orthodox is what goes all the way back to what the apostles taught. But therein is the problem. What they teach, and particularly tonight, the idea that baptism is not essential and that we're saved by faith only, is not what the apostles taught. Truth is, you don't read about being saved by faith only or faith alone anywhere in the Bible. The only time those terms appear together, it's when James in James chapter 2 tells us that we are not saved by faith alone. But they overlook that. And they're insistent that baptism is not essential to the salvation of the soul. And so you need to choose. Those of you who are Christians, you made the choice when you were buried in the waters of baptism, but you can't let the fact that the majority of people don't agree with that ever cause you to change your mind. And again, you need to know that if you ever leave the church and go to a denominational church, you are going to be with a group of people who simply have chosen the doctrines of men over the Bible, even when it comes to God's plan of salvation. There are very few denominations. I only know of one that I actually have read their teachings, who teach that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. And I don't know that I've read it specifically, but I know there are some Pentecostals who believe that baptism is essential. Now, the only group that I know of are those who teach the Jesus only doctrine. So they go astray when it comes down to believing in some kind of baptismal formula that has to be said when an individual is baptized, and it has to be only Jesus, only in the name of Jesus. But if I'm not mistaken, they do believe that that's essential for salvation. But other than that, other than them and the other church I was referring to as a form of the Seventh-day Adventist, there's several different kinds of them, but one of them I've actually read with my own eyes, where they believe that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. But the fact of the matter is, if you ever leave the church and go to a denominational church, there is a 99.9% chance that you're going to a church that has rejected God's plan of salvation. And so what does the Bible teach about baptism? Is it indeed essential? There's a lot of arguments that we could make, but I have often taken the approach over the years. If you really want to prove that baptism is needed and necessary, and avoid some of the issues with different passages that denominational preachers, they have worked up a response to certain things, you want to avoid that, all you have to do is look at what baptism does. And once you understand what baptism does, it really becomes undeniable that it is essential, because the things that baptism do for us are absolutely essential for the salvation of the soul. So if you take those things away, if you take baptism away, you'll take those things away, and there's no way a person could be saved. And one of the best passages is our scripture reading. If you turn back over to Romans chapter 6, Romans the 6th chapter, this is usually not one of the first passages that we look to when it comes down to baptism, but it is indeed a wonderful passage that proves how important baptism is. So Romans chapter 6, let's go back there and read a little bit again. Verses 3 and 4, Romans chapter 6. At verse 3 it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." Those two verses are rich with things that are absolutely essential for our salvation, and really put into perspective how necessary, how needed baptism is. You first begin by looking at what he says at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus? No matter what you think about baptism, there is one undeniable truth. Baptism puts one into Christ. That cannot be denied. There are certain arguments that people like to make about, you know, Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized should be saved. A lot of people will just say, well, but we're not sure that was even in the original text. And so you got to argue about that. Even a great passage like Acts chapter 2 and at verse 38, Peter, when the people asked, what must we do to be saved? He answered them very simply, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very simple. But then they look at the word for, and they start making an argument about what that word means. And they can convince people they're wrong about their argument there, but that confuses people. But what is not confusing? What everyone should agree upon are these statements, clear statements made by Paul, that baptism puts us into Christ. We have another statement that says the same thing in Galatians, the third chapter. Paul, again, is the author of Galatians, of course. In Galatians chapter 3 and at verse 27, he writes, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is no question about that. 1 Corinthians 12 at verse 13, you can mark that down. It's another passage that says specifically that we are baptized into Christ. So again, whatever else you think and believe, one thing we know about baptism, it puts us into Christ. So that then leads to the question, can a person be saved outside of Christ? And the answer is clearly no. Again, that's not even debatable. A person who has reached the age of accountability has to be in Christ to be saved. Ephesians 1 and at verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is salvation not a spiritual blessing? Of course it is. Romans 8 at verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You want to be in a state of no condemnation? You have to be in that location. You have to be in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 at verse 10, Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is where? In Christ Jesus. Like, there's no question at all that you have to be in Christ in order to be saved. But baptism is the thing the Bible not once, not twice, but three times tells us baptism puts us into Christ. How, pray tell, can you be saved without baptism if it's baptism that puts us into Christ? Now, I've often said, I don't believe that it is only the act of baptism. Those passages are dealing with baptism, but I understand that the hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, all of that is a part of the plan. Baptism puts us into Christ only because it is the last step that has to be taken. Doesn't mean that the first four steps aren't important. But the last step will move you locationally from outside of Christ to inside of Christ. From the world into the kingdom of God. And there is really no debate about that. And so do you have to be baptized? Well, maybe the better question is, do you have to be in Christ? And the answer is clearly yes. But notice again here in Romans chapter 6. He goes on to say that they had been baptized into Christ Jesus, but then he says at the end of verse 3 that they were baptized into his death. Now, what that means simply is that it is in baptism that we take advantage of the death of Christ. What did Jesus do in his death? He shed his blood. And so you have to understand that Paul is using figurative language here, because it's impossible to physically be baptized into the death of Christ. And so when you realize that what Jesus did in death is shed his blood, you understand that Paul is talking about the fact that we're baptized into his death, because it's in baptism that we figuratively contact the blood. And we realize then the blood of Christ, of course, washes away our sins. It is interesting that we can go to places like Acts chapter 22, when Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Is there a contradiction there? Of course not. Revelation 1, I think it is, verse 5, there, right in that area, 5 through 7, where the Bible specifically says our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. Why are there two passages? One that says our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, and another that says that our sins are washed away when we're baptized. Why isn't there a contradiction there? It's because when we are baptized, we're baptized into his death. It's where we contact the blood. It's why, again, in Matthew chapter 26, at verse 28, Jesus could talk about the blood of his covenant. And again, it was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And yet in Acts chapter 2, Peter, by inspiration, said, no, you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. How is it that Jesus and Peter were not contradicting each other? It's because when we're baptized into his death. And now, if you ask me, why did God arrange it like that? As I've said 100 times, I don't know, and it's not my business. That's the way God arranged it. One thing is for sure, when we are baptized, we're baptized into his death. So what does baptism do? It puts us into contact with the blood of Christ. Fact of the matter is, you have to contact that blood somehow and at some point. Why not just listen to what the Bible says? A clear teaching that we're baptized into his death. And so then the question is, can you be saved without and apart from the blood of Christ? Well, the answer clearly is no. Who can be saved without the blood of Christ? It is the blood of Christ. Listen, we don't believe that water washes away our sins. We have preached again many times defending the fact. Some people think, oh, you think somehow water washes away your sins. We don't think that at all. We sing the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And we sing that because we believe it. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins, not water. But still, we have to contact that blood, and God arranged that that happens in baptism. So can you be saved without that blood? And I don't know of anyone, even denominational folks, who would say, yeah, you don't really need the blood of Christ to be saved. They just think you contact it at a different time. But where's the passage? I can give you a passage that talks about being baptized into the death of Christ. Where's the passage that says we believe into the death of Christ? No passage that teaches any such thing. And so you start to realize what baptism does. And there's a third thing here in Romans chapter 6. And it kind of puts it all together. And when we realize that it's baptism that puts us into Christ, and we can't be saved without that, and we realize that baptism puts us into contact with the blood of Christ, and we can't be saved without that, then we realize why people were being baptized in the first century. And we don't have to guess, because Paul tells us why he was baptized and those with him were baptized. Listen to verse 4. He says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, which we could spend some time talking about. We're really just emphasizing the essentiality of baptism. But I might say, just as an aside, the baptism has to be scriptural. So baptism in the Bible is a burial. The word Baptism means to dip, to plant, to bury. And so when you come across churches that simply sprinkle a little water on the head of an infant, that's not baptism at all, not scriptural baptism. And so we need to make sure that we understand. It's just like with the idea that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. We have to dismiss any notion, like the Baptists believe that baptism is essential. They just don't think it's for the remission of sins. They think, as you know, it's an outward sign of an inward grace, that you are saved, you are regenerated, and then later you are baptized. It's nothing more than an ordinance like the Lord's Supper. And so I point that out because when you're talking to somebody, you have to kind of get specific, because you might be having a study with an individual and you might emphasize you have to be baptized to be saved. And they might say, yeah, I agree with that. And I was baptized. And if you're not thinking, you just say, okay, great. We can check that off. But the question is, what was the nature of their baptism? Were they buried in baptism or sprinkled as an infant? Were they baptized for the forgiveness of sins, or were they baptized with 30 other people on a certain day of the month just to become a part of a denominational church? What was the nature of their baptism? So you got to kind of nail that down. But that's kind of an aside here. Just looking now at just following the rest of this verse, notice he says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. And then he says, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That is a powerful statement by Paul. He is telling us why he was baptized. And by implication, why any of us were baptized, why anyone should be baptized. Paul said we were buried in baptism. Why? In order that we might walk in the newness of life. That's Bible, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible teaches if you are ever going to walk in the newness of life, you have to be baptized. Why? Because that's where your sins are forgiven. That's where you enter into Christ. That's where you contact the blood. If you're not baptized, you never contact the blood. Your sins are never washed away. Therefore, you can never have fellowship with God, and you cannot walk in the newness of life. And Paul says, so we were baptized in order that we might walk in the newness of life. So you add that to it. What does baptism do? It allows us to walk in the newness of life. And it doesn't matter what else you do, how many good works you're involved in, you can't walk in the newness of life unless you are baptized and your sins are taken care of so that you can be in fellowship with God. Now think about those three things. Baptism puts you into Christ, puts you into contact with the blood, and allows you to walk in the newness of life. Forget about all other teaching concerning baptism and all the other passages. You just think about those three things. Would you conclude, if your mind wasn't corrupted by some kind of false teaching, someone just came to you and said, hey, you want to be saved, you need to be baptized, and this is what will happen when you're baptized. You'll enter into Christ because your sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ, and you'll be able now to walk in the newness of life. Would you conclude? Yeah, I want all of that. I don't have to be baptized. Nobody would conclude that. If you really want to know if baptism is necessary, you just have to understand what it does. And those things are essential if we want to go to heaven after a while. Ergo, we know that baptism is absolutely essential. And there are so many passages, again, that we could read. Peter, in 1 Peter 3 at verse 21, says baptism does now save us. We learn from all of the conversions in the book of Acts, every major conversion, when details are given, baptism was a part of it. When the church was persecuted and scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached to them. And what happened? They were baptized, men and women who believed. Later on, he went to the Ethiopian eunuch and taught him. And what did he do? He taught him Christ. And what did the eunuch want? He saw water and said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Why? Because Philip told him he had to be baptized. That's a part of preaching Christ. When the Philippian jailer believed, what did they do? They baptized him. Why? That is a part of God's plan of salvation. We can go on and on. What will you choose tonight? Most people will tell you the very opposite of what I'm telling you tonight. You do not have to be baptized in order to be saved. You have to choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. If you haven't done that, we hope that you will. Even tonight, you can be baptized. The water's ready. You can come into contact with the blood of Christ. Your sins will be washed away. You'll be in Christ, and you can begin living anew, walking in the newness of life. If you're already a child of God, don't ever, no matter what, let anyone change your mind on what the Bible teaches. Because if you leave the faith, you go to a denominational church, you'll be siding with the doctrines of men over the Bible. We all need to make the right choice. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not do it tonight? We hope you will. Make the right decision, the best decision you can ever make. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.